Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I had a thought this morning before I came over. I think I was at my house, and here was my thought. What if we only said what the Lord put on our heart? What if we only did what the Lord put on our heart? That means we would say very little, and we would do very little. And many hearts would turn to Jesus. Think about that for a second. That's better. Good visual, huh? All that is of God is continually ushering our heart and soul under the person of Christ, his Son. All that is of God. Good preaching, good teaching does not direct the heart into Christ, but it is the Spirit of God that directs the heart into Christ, and sometimes uses the feebleness of man and his words. There's only one perfect presentation of the gospel. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before people get upset who are watching online, there were no actual Bibles hurt or damaged in any way. Many of you already probably saw that and knew that. God gave the scriptures with an intent, with a purpose. Man sadly approaches the scriptures with a lesser intent and a lesser purpose. Might as well be tearing pages out of the Bible, making paper airplanes, starting a fire, doing something with it, to serve some other purpose than what God intended. Jesus told the Jews who read the scriptures, I mean, they were in a time of expectation of the Messiah. The 400 years of silence, oh, that was brewing in them. They were in expectation of the coming Messiah. So yes, where else should they search to find when or where this one would be coming? The scriptures given of God. And yet Jesus tells them, I know you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. In what you read, in what you learn, in what you study, in what you hear, in what you've heard, in what you've learned. And he says this, they are they that testify of me. The scriptures are given of God, designed of God as the testimony of Jesus Christ, which testimony directs the heart unto a person. When the heart loses sight of the person, we've lost everything. Everything. There's one faithful. God is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. God has never lost sight of his Son. Never. Yes, there was one moment in time when he looked away. But that's it. That came and gone and went. Excuse my grammar. Jesus says, they are they, the scriptures that you're searching, are they that testify of me. And then he gives the whole purpose and intent of the testimony. Unfortunately for them, his words were, and you will not come to me to find what you're looking for. Then he goes on to say, had you believed Moses, you would believe me. He wrote of me. The Emmaus Road, they had an expectation. Well, we thought he was the one who was going to redeem us. And the redemption of all Israel is standing in their midst, completely blind to the one who's present. And then he declares to them himself in the scriptures. So much so that when they get finally, I guess, to wherever they were going, they were going to stay for the night, and Jesus is going on, they know, don't go. No. We love your company. We love your presence. Can't really understand why, but something in us is drawn to you. John 6, chapter 44, excuse me, John chapter 6, verse 44 through 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who hath heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This is what God does. We don't do this. No man does this. God does this. No man is faithful. God is faithful. Remember yesterday? The Lord saw Abraham's heart that he was faithful. Where? Right here. Faithful before him. The only confession that comes out of a heart that has been turned and directed unto Christ is, it's not I but Christ. There's no strength of me here. There's no me at all. But it is Christ. All and in all. Here's where faith operates. Operates in Christ. The Holy Spirit is faithful. Jesus said, He will guide you. Into all truth. Remember, truth is not a subject, at least not in God's heart, not in God's mind, not in the eternal mind, not in the eternal heart. Truth is not a subject. Truth is not a doctrine. Truth is not a fact. Truth is a person who is His Son. There's a beautiful relationship that the Father has with His Son. See, though we will embrace religion, and I say this, my definition of religion is when the heart loses sight of the Son. That's all you have. We have good, maybe they're good. Maybe they're correct doctrines. Maybe they're correct teachings. But we lose sight of Him at the expense of a person. But God doesn't lose sight of His Son. Never. Never. God the Father never loses sight of Him who is our life. We are known in this one. We are known by this one. God does not know us any other way. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. That's a very good thing. He's the only one who's faithful. The only one. Let's see. That goes to... over there. Yeah. I'll read a passage. If I can find it. This is Matthew. Chapter 11. Starting with verse 7. Matthew chapter 11. Starting with verse 7 through 24. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. This is John the Baptist. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you. And I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. My messenger, not man's title, hat, diploma. No. My messenger. God does this. Man doesn't do this. No. God alone. Verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Because John declared something at that time that was not yet in him, who was coming, preparing the way for this one, this Messiah, the expectation of Israel. But whoever is least in the kingdom is because the king is present in the midst. Because the king is present. Everything John declared was to prepare hearts for the one who would come. Those who are born again have received the expectation of what he declared. We have what he spoke of. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law and law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 16. I love this. But to what shall I liken this generation? Remember, he starts out with John the Baptist. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Verse 16. But to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions, saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. They did certain things to prompt a certain response. I mean, God will go to an extreme to get our attention. He had one guy lay on his left side for X amount of days, and then lay on his other side for another X amount of days. Then he has another guy marry a prostitute. Then he has another one just strip down and go naked all around the place. I mean, were these crazy people? No. With purpose. If the thing, T-H-I-N-G, this has been drilled into my little wee little brain of the Lord. If the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is without doubt designed of God to bring unto the person of Christ his Son. And in Spanish, punto final. No más. Period. No more. That's it. That's it. Everything. Even whatever I'm sharing, if it's of God, it's designed with that purpose. If it doesn't serve that purpose, I might as well be making paper airplanes, kindling the fire, fuel for the fire. And then verse 20, he goes on, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. The miracle signs and wonders served a purpose. Remember, repentance is not saying, I'm sorry because I did this, or forgive me, brother, sister, forgive me, God, because I did this. That's not repentance. Repentance is when the heart turns to the Lord, and that is a miracle of God because God has to grant repentance. See, we have this wrong definition even in our mind when I said that when the heart turns to the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord, the heart actually turns to the Lord. He's the expectation. He is not a means to our end. No, that's not repentance. No, Jesus for is not repentance. No, you've seen something, you just didn't see Jesus. If we, by the Spirit of God, God the Father being so merciful to turn our hearts unto Christ, we would not be the same. It would no longer be our mind. Everything would become so clear, so simple. It's really all about a son. It's really all about God's son. It's really all about the seed. It's really all about him. Not what he can do. No, no, no. It's actually about him. That is clarity of mind. But our mind says, no, that's just that's too simple. God has to make it simple because we complicate everything. Complex. That's what man does. Everything but the Son. We stumble at the stumbling stone. God doesn't. God doesn't. When the heart turns to the Lord by the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Father drawing the heart. If you're born again, He has already drawn your soul. You are safe. You are secure. More established than the concrete in this building. Because the concrete in this building will one day be gone. But the Son abides forever. But what is our heart submitted unto? Is it submitted unto our thought, our mind? My best thought, my good thought, my good intention, my good study. Look at that. Look at that. I even colored them, color-coded. No. If that doesn't serve God's purpose, it doesn't serve any purpose at all. To God, it would be a waste of a tree. He began to rebuke cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you! For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for you. Then he goes on to say, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. And then he goes on. Everything Jesus did was with purpose to draw a heart unto himself. Remember the rich young ruler, he came. He was wanting something. He just wasn't wanting to find it in a person. And if we are searching outside of this person, God help us if we find something. Because everything, our heart and soul, was designed of God to find and discover is found in the person of his Son. Abraham, once he came back from Egypt, he remained in the land. All he did was discover the one who was eternally present, having filled the land. Go to the north, Abraham. Okay, I'll go to the north. Guess what you're going to find there? Well, actually, guess what you're going to discover? Because discover implies that there's something there. Not that it has to get there. No, discover means you just don't know about it. Discover the Lord. A true discovery. Discover a person. See, that's all that God had for Abraham. No, Abraham didn't have the scriptures. No, he didn't have anything. All he had was the Lord. And all he communicated to those in his house was the Lord. And I'll go to and take another step. In the heart of Abram, his house wasn't even his house. It was the house of the Lord. Because his heart was submitted to the purpose of the Lord in his generation. His heart was submitted to what governs the house of God. Therefore, everyone who was in his house, everyone who came into his house, were purposed to see the light of the house. Drawn by a candlestick, a testimony, that they may find the true light in the midst, the one who is the Son of the living God. That's it. He declared the purpose of the house. He served the purpose of the house. Therefore, it wasn't his house. It was God's house. He served the purpose of the Lord in his generation. That's why when God can make himself known to Isaac, can reveal himself to Isaac, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Oh, I've heard all about you since I was a kid. That's all I heard my father talk about. And I finally see you for myself. When he reveals himself to Jacob, I'm the God of your father Abraham. I'm the God of your father Isaac. Oh my God, it's really you. I finally get to see you. Everything they've told me, everything that I've hoped for, everything that I've longed for, everything that they said, that I too would be able to walk in faith, that I too would be able to walk in the land of the living and discover the one who is eternally present, the one who fills both heaven and earth. He will lead you, he will guide you into all truth who is Christ and nothing less, all truth who is a person and nothing less. God has given us the desire of our heart. That desire, my brothers and sisters, can only be realized in a person. Ultimately and truly can only be realized in a person. Not even in the testimony of the person. No, the testimony births that expectation, that desire for the person. We all know that Abraham, yes, when he took the initiative, he wanted life. We know what he did. He wasn't patient. He wasn't waiting upon the Lord. That's all right. That's what we all do. That's our ability. He steps out of purpose. Doesn't step out of Christ. No, but he steps out of purpose. Winds up among the dead. Or shall I say his heart is found among the dead. In God's divine providence, the Lord brings him back. Gosh, I can just imagine Abraham. Or just think of him. Oh my God, thank you. I mean, I was trying to save my skin and the skin of those in my household. But there's something greater than this natural body. Your life is greater. I mean, there were people sawn in half because they expected a greater resurrection, a greater deliverance. They saw him from afar and they lived on this earth like outcasts. The world didn't understand them. How can it? There's no communication between the living and the dead. This is Genesis chapter 13. I'll read some excerpts from there. Verse 1, Abram, his name isn't changed yet in chapter 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt. the wording of the scriptures is so detailed. I mean, the Holy Spirit just, when he inspired the writer of Genesis, he just didn't say, okay, Abraham left Egypt. No, no, no. Abraham's heart was dwelling among the dead. Then Abram went up from Egypt. It's always up. Up. Remember? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. We search to find, and we, in God's mercy, we don't find what we're looking for. If God is being merciful unto us, he will not allow us to find something less than his son. That's his mercy. That's his mercy. My God, what if we did find something? God help us. Everything that we longed for, everything that we've desired to be found in a person. He won't let you find it in any other person. No, he won't. That's his mercy. I mean, when you get to the core, every single one of us is a little different, I would say. Different personality, maybe. But when you get to the core, there's something that we really want, that we've always longed for in our heart. It doesn't matter what it is. He's not, in his mercy, he will not let us find that, realize that, apart and outside of his Son. That is his mercy. I'm thankful for that. Because we don't understand what he's doing. Because our hearts are so caught up with everything below, with what we can see with this natural eye, understand with this natural brain. He's eternal. But your heart will be so thankful when you, by the work of the Holy Spirit, finally realize the desire of your heart in the person of Christ. You will be so thankful, and you will look back and say, "Thank you, Lord, for not letting me settle for anything less," because that is man's tendency, to settle for something less than the Son. But God doesn't. Remember, he is faithful. He is faithful. And he and his wife, back to Genesis 13, then Abram went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, goes on, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Probably many thank yous, much weeping for joy and thankfulness unto the Lord that he would bring him back again and not leave him in his own ignorance, in his own imagination, in his own thought. And it goes on, verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and in the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. I mean, they both had plenty of stuff, I guess you could say. Verse 8. Look at this. This is one whose heart has been directed unto the Lord. To whatever degree, to whatever degree, his heart has been directed unto the Lord. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen." Why? For we are brethren. There was something greater than a natural relationship working in the heart of Abram. My brothers and sisters, we have a common life. We are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? This is coming out of the mouth of one whom the Lord, by divine providence, brought him back to purpose. And his heart is so thankful, he doesn't want to ever leave again. And when there's strife, because there's too much in the same place, listen to his words. Is not the whole land before you? His heart is declaring the mind of God. Go anywhere you want to go, Lot, in the land. This is where the heart was meant to be. I say the heart because for us who are born again, our souls are found, yes, in Christ. Our souls are, yes. That happens the moment of new birth. You could not be in Christ except Christ be in you. But because he is in you, you also are in him. Whether we know that by a teaching, know that by a study, or not. God knows the truth. When our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, are directed unto Christ, we discover, just as Abram did, the one who is eternally present in the land. For that to happen, your heart must be directed above. Why do we seek what we are looking for outside of the person of Christ? God doesn't. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. If you are truly led by the Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Where do we think the Spirit of truth is going to lead us? He's going to lead us to a person who is the truth every time. Not sometimes, every time. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, depends on the left, I will take the right. Look at that. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Everything in the land, anywhere you want to go, there is plenty of room here. Plenty. There is much room here. There is room for all who would come. Abraham is giving, he would probably even say, no, it is not my mind, it's actually the eternal mind. Choose anywhere here, anywhere. There's plenty here. And here, brothers and sisters, listen, here, brothers and sisters, there is no strife. No, we are all made partakers of him. We have all received the same measure, which measure by the Holy Spirit we will be discovering throughout all eternity. This immeasurable gift, who is the Son. It goes on, verse 10. Gosh, this is heartbreaking. This was heartbreaking for Abraham, which is Abram at the time. This was heartbreaking because to whatever degree his heart had found what it's all about. Remember, from Genesis chapter 13, you can read on. I don't believe there's a mention of Abram ever leaving purpose, ever leaving the land from this point. Egypt was it. That's all he needed. No, it's not going to happen. No, I've found him whom my soul seeks. I have found him. There's nothing less. There's nothing less. He's trying to communicate this to his brother, Lot. That he also may find. Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, And they separated from each other. Verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Talk about heartbreaking. See, it really didn't matter what Lot saw in this sense, whether he saw something good or evil. That what matters is that he saw something outside of purpose. And that broke the heart of Abram. Abram knew what that meant. But Abram, to some degree, to whatever degree, his heart is submitted to the Lord, and he could probably confess, it is not I, but the Lord, and lets Lot choose what Abram knows is not the best. Verse 14, look at this, verse 13. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. I won't even define that, because we have a thought of perversities. Yes, it is perverse when you leave Christ. Paper airplanes, come on. When we leave a person, it's all perverse, because it serves no purpose. It's wickedness. It's darkness. It's evil. But the Lord is faithful. And Jesus himself, listen, our good shepherd. He knows us. He knows what'll get our attention. He knows every single one of us. He knows what'll do it for each one of us. He knows what it takes to break through that crud and touch what no man can touch, and redirect unto what no man can direct. And the Lord said to Abram, this is verse 14, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now, and look from where you are. Lift your eyes now, and look from the place where you are. See, it's always the lifting. It's always. Up to Jerusalem. Up to Zion, the city of our God. It's always up. It's always up. It's never down. It's figurative speech. Resurrection. Why do we look and seek for the realization of the eternal expectation below? You'll not find it here. He's risen. To realize our expectation in a person who is Christ himself. That's God's intent. He remains faithful unto his Son. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give it to you and your seed forever. The land you see, Abram, is your inheritance and your natural seed's inheritance. And the single seed as his inheritance forever as well. Verse 17. Oh, look at this. Verse 16. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if any man could number the dust of the earth, then your seed also could be numbered. The one who fills both heaven and earth How does he do it? He's God. Verse 17, arise. Remember, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Arise, walk in the land. Before we're born again, the Holy Spirit has been preparing the ground of our heart, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, the same work of the Spirit, our heart would be able to respond unto the Son, unto the voice of the Living One. When that happens, the Holy Spirit does not change what he does. No. Though man will give multiplicity of purposes, and God doesn't. The Holy Spirit remains faithful unto the Son, preparing the ground of the heart with the word of the testimony, with the scriptures which are the testimony, that we in our hearts may now come in knowledge, from the knowledge of man below to the knowledge of God above, who is Christ. Again. And again, and again, and again. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Please take this before the Lord, tell him to trash what he wants to trash, and tell him to use what he wants to use, because if it's not serving his purpose, it is trash. Lord bless you guys. Amen.